Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fifth Sunday of Easter 2009. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Then Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles, and he reported to them how he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him, and how, in Damascus, he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem, and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He also spoke and debated with the Hellenists, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea, and they sent him on his way to Tarsus. The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord, and, with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. The Word of the Lord. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. I will fulfill my vows before those who fear the Lord. The lowly shall eat their fill. They who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your hearts live forever. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. All of the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall bow down before him. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. To him alone shall bow down all who sleep in the earth. Before him shall bend all who go down into the dust. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. And to him my soul shall live. My descendants shall serve him. Let the coming generation be told of the Lord, that they may proclaim to a people yet to be born the justice he has shown. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. A reading from the first letter of John. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Now this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth, and reassure our hearts before him in whatever our hearts condemn, for God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm flying solo today. Dawn could not be on the podcast this week, and unfortunately I couldn't find anybody else because all of my other microphones are being borrowed by the seminary at the moment, so you're going to have to listen to me today, but hopefully we can break open these scriptures and find some kind of meaning that will be relevant to people. This reading, of course, from the Gospel is one of the most beautiful readings, the vine and the branches, and it's something that's it's an image that's used over and over again throughout the Christian tradition. Various church fathers and theologians love to talk on this. Artists love to draw pictures about Christ as the vine. And I think there's some, in this image of the vine, there's some real deep theological statements being made here that we can talk about. Of course, the vine on any kind of a vine is the life source, so when you think of grapes or something like that, without the vine, you don't have the plant at all. So the vine is the basic life source of the plant. And that's kind of what Jesus is reminding us, is that he himself is to be our source of life. It's where we draw our strength from, our nutrients. We're all fed from the vine. And this has several implications. Of course, as Catholics, we believe in the Eucharist that we are quite literally fed on the body and blood of Christ. So in that sense, it's a very literal image, with Christ being the vine as the one who provides the nutrients, and of course the bread and wine that is consecrated and becomes the body and blood of Christ show us that Christ, that his own body, is indeed food and drink, as he tells us. And so, of course, we have that image of being getting our nutrition from Christ. And then, of course, there's the spiritual image that we can pull from this of getting our spiritual nutrition from Christ as well, taking care of the matters of the soul, if you will. And that also comes straight from Christ, the values that he teaches, the life that he gives us as an example for our own lives of how to live. Those types of things are essential to our own being. And really, I think we've all seen this in our lives where we have moments and we realize that maybe we couldn't make it through without the grace and the love of Christ in our own life, that we count on Christ as our strength in many times. So I think that that's just a real powerful image, this image of the vine and the branches. And of course, we also remember as branches that we are an important part of the plant. We aren't the central part of the plant, we're not the central concern, but we definitely have an important part to play in that we're supposed to provide fruit for the world. We're supposed to provide the fruit, the nourishment for others, for the world around us, for the ground, all of that. And that's something that we as Christians are called to do. And I think it's something that we need to remember as part of our Christian mission, is that we are indeed constantly being called to be fruit for others, to bear fruit, to do things that will continue to have fruit in our world, whether it be to comfort people in sorrow, whether it be to educate, whether it be to just be a presence of God in the world. We're constantly being called to do that. And this is something that appears over and over again in our theology and in our worship itself. In the Mass, at the end of the Mass, you're told to go forth and to spread the peace of Christ throughout the world. The whole point of the Catholic Mass, of course, is that we come to be nourished on the vine. We come to be nourished by the body and blood of Christ, to be nourished in community. But the Mass is kind of pointless if we can't take this nourishment, this strength that we get from the Mass, and then go forth and do something with it. And that's ultimately what the Mass is for. It's to be that source of nourishment so that we can go out and labor into the world. We can go out and spread the good news. You know, it's kind of funny because a lot of times people think that it's the job of the priest to go out and to go forward and spread the good news. But it's actually the job of the people, according to the Second Vatican Council. The job of the priest is to nourish the people so that the people can then go out into the world and evangelize the whole world. So a lot of times we tend to think it should be the priest who should be out there doing all the evangelization, but a lot of times it really is ourselves as people of God who are supposed to be out there evangelizing. That's not to say that the priest shouldn't be out there evangelizing, but certainly his primary concern should be for the people, and then the people's primary concern should be for the rest of the world, and to go out and to be that source of Christ in the world so that people will come into the fold and know Christ. Also, I think that we have some beautiful comments in the two readings, the other two readings, the first and second reading that we have I'll start with the first reading here from the Acts of the Apostles, and to provide a little background for those who might be playing catch-up or something like that, or might have just forgotten from their CCD classes or Bible studies and everything else. Saul, of course, is the same person as St. Paul, but he underwent a conversion and had a name change. So originally he was born under the name of Saul, and that was the name that he used, and he'd gone around persecuting the Christians. And then all of a sudden he has this encounter with the Lord on his way to Damascus, and God speaks to him and tells him that, I want you to stop persecuting me, but not only that, I want you to go out and to spread the Christian gospel. And so, of course, when he first appears to the apostles and tells them that he'd received this message, they still think this is a setup. Of course, you know, it's probably some undercover way for him to finish off what's left of the Christian community after he's been persecuting them. And so they're a little skeptical. But Paul continues on his mission and continues to preach the message of the Lord at great cost to him, where he's almost killed by people, the Hellenists, who are the Greek people, the secular Greek culture. So, of course, you'd have, these are people who are following the philosophies of like Plato and Aristotle, or the Hellenists. And he's going out and preaching to the non-Jewish people and preaching the gospel, and it's getting to the point where it's almost costing him his own life. And this is kind of what begins to convince the apostles that this guy really did have a conversion experience. He's not just putting us on here. He's going at great lengths and at great risk to himself to preach this gospel, and eventually they accept him as one of the apostles and recognize that he did have a conversion, indeed inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're seeing in the first reading here. And I think that for us, what we can learn from that is, of course, that we too are called to that same type of witness, where we should be witnessing to the gospel, even if it does mean that we are facing persecution. And a lot of times we do. A lot of times wanting to do the right thing can be very detrimental at work. It could cause promotions. It could mean that we're standing up for poor business practices in the office or unethical business practices, even though, quote unquote, you know, everybody else does it. And these are things that we're called to do as Christians. We're not called to just give in to the status quo, but we're called to enlighten the world. And it can be a very, very difficult task, obviously, if the world is one that cheats people, if it's one that looks at people as commodities, if it's one that doesn't treat people as being made in the image and likeness of God. And a lot of times it can be, even in our society that's enlightened and has religious freedom, it can mean some form of persecution, probably not to the point of death, but it could mean risking one's job, risking future promotions, or something like that. And yet it's something that we are called to do. It's, we're called to have the strength to stand up for what is right. And hopefully it's something that people can draw strength on from their nourishment at Mass, from their prayer life, to be able to do those types of things. Then, of course, in the second reading, we have this letter from John, and what John is talking about here is that we need to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to follow the command to love one another. And of course, that is Christ's great command, is that we love one another. And that's how we can tell if somebody is in God or if they're doing what God is asking. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that love, unfortunately, in our society has all kinds of connotations. Sometimes it can mean not challenging one another, not standing up for one another, but just simply letting people do what they want. Of course, anybody who's a parent could easily tell you that's not love. If you just let your kids do whatever they want and have, you know, chocolate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that's not necessarily love. It might be what the child wants to do, and certainly what I want to do all the time, too. But certainly the parents know that they have a responsibility to nourish the child, to tell them right from wrong, to correct them when they're doing things that are wrong, when they're doing things that will lead them into harm in some way, even though it might not seem that way initially. Of course, it can be difficult for the child to understand that is love too, and a lot of times they don't respond always by acknowledging that that's love, or may take them 20 or 30 years to realize that what their parents were doing for them was indeed love. As Christians, we're called to do the same things. So we're called to let people know when what they're doing is harmful or wrong. So we're called to stand up for certain truths. Of course, we see this in a lot of issues, such as, let's say, the life issues that we face today, issues with stem cell research or issues with abortion or something like that, where we're called to stand up for the truth, even though it might not be popular. Because what we realize is, in the long run, this is better for us, for our society, and it's what God asks of us. And so I think that that's another dimension to these readings, again, is that we need that strength of the vine to be able to do that kind of a thing, to stand up for the truth, to be people of love, even if it's difficult to do. I thank you for joining me this week, and I hope that you've gleaned some kind of insight from me. Hopefully the situation in Canandaigua will be better for Dawn next week, and she'll be able to join us on the podcast. And hopefully you'll be back to listen on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.